Hello all, this is Kelvin Pascal and you are tuned into the Hinted Neuron podcast. I'm back with another podcast after a very long time. I think I've not released episodes in like 2 to 3 months now, and I'm so excited I'm doing this again. I talked with Hepzibah, or Ziba, as it's popularly known among the girls as Oluwa Baby Boy. We talked about a bunch of random stuff. We talked about growth. We talked about marketing. We talked about startups. We talked about fun stuff, his interests, about Nigeria, and just his own personal life too. It was like a fun conversation, and I really like it. It's a good way to come back, and I really have a lot of stuff coming this month. So if you enjoy this podcast, stay tuned, like, subscribe, also share. There's a bunch of stuff coming out, and I really don't want you to miss all those good stuff. So enjoy my podcast with Ziba, and here's my conversation with him.
Hello, I am here with Ziba. Women call him Oluwa Baby Boy. Thank you for coming on the podcast, Ziba. How you doing today?
Yeah, Kevin, how are you doing?
I'm really chill. How's the vibe this evening?
Well, it's going fine.
Yeah, so a little introduction for Ziba before I like hand him in. He's a growth marketer and he, does a lot of cool stuff with startups. So I don't want to give him away. Let him introduce himself and, Ziba, tell us about yourself.
Hello, how are you doing? Hepzibah, and I'm a growth marketer and for startups basically. I'm also a consultant for consultants. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. So before we dive right into maybe the serious bit of the conversation, you've been jamming Michael Jackson since you were here, bro. What's the obsession with this guy? I mean, I'm obsessed with Michael Jackson. I like him. Like when I was 12, doing Billie Jean Is Not My Lover, doing amateur mimicry of the Moonwalker and all those things. I mean, I fucking love that stuff. I almost broke my ankle trying to, that bend when you try to bend.
There's something he does with the tip of his toe.
I almost fell down trying to do that.
I still can't do that.
Since when did this obsession start?
Well, that's the greatest entertainer of all time, king of pop, no one comes close. And I've loved Michael Jackson for a very long time. As a child, I think it was one artist that I had his compilation and the CD in my parents' house, because my parents were conservatives and were always gospel songs and all these Olorunmi Monti Ose, those kind of like songs. So secular music was never allowed in my house, but I don't know how come we had that CD in my father's house. And I always watched his videos, his live performances, and a lot of things. It was just thrilling. And that's where my love for Michael started. And when he died, he like tripled or quadrupled as the... It was just beautiful.
I feel you, man. I feel you. I think Michael died around 2005, yeah?
2009, bro. 2009, June 25, 2009.
So, I used to do a lot of Michael Jackson then. My mom used to tell me that if I want to go to heaven, I should stop mimicking and doing a lot of Michael Jackson.
Illuminati
and all the stuff. And I still, to this day, I don't know if you love Liberian Girl.
I love Michael Jackson's songs. Like, he's the first artist that had all his albums.
Yeah.
All of his albums from Off the Wall, which was his first like solo album, to his final album that was dropped in 2001. What's the title? I think it was Invincible or something. I can't remember now. But that was everything about probably almost 100 songs, or over 100 songs on my laptop.
Do you think that Michael Jackson played a huge role in shaping your music taste, like the kind of music you listen to right now?
Kind of. I'm beginning to learn to listen to rap music because I love Nas and Lil Wayne. I'm beginning to like Jay-Z too and Kanye. But growing up, I always just listened to pop and soul and R&B. Those were my genres to fuck with. But Michael Jackson influenced, pop. That's why I love Justin Bieber. Because, he's the new prince of pop,
Do you like dancing?
Yeah, I enjoy dancing, but I don't think I won't regard myself as a great dancer.
As a good dancer, yeah. Yeah, let's dive right into the conversation. And you know, as a growth marketer and startup person, what do you, I don't know, what's your normal day like? Maybe, okay, let's not say what's your normal day like. You have a client, a random client. What do you do for them?
It depends on their problem.
Yeah.
Because I tend to approach growth marketing like a scientist.
Scientist.
Yes.
That's
I mean, you know, the seven, you know how scientists, like, you know, you did that shit in inter-science in, I mean, junior secondary school.
Yeah.
You have your hypothesis, you experiment to confirm your hypothesis and, you know, draw your conclusions. There are seven steps.
Yeah.
So, my own approach to marketing is, I have to understand your problem and get the right solution, because it has to be tailor-made. There's no one-size-fits-all. Your problem is unique and it's different from another startup's problem. So I can't take another person's solution and give it to you
because
I'm a marketer. I mean, just like how doctors would operate, you can't go to an hospital and tell
the doctor. So let me use analogies like a tailor sewing like a bespoke suit for a person every time.
No, that's not like the perfect analogy.
Yeah,
doctor, the process of you going to the hospital because you have a headache is like the perfect analogy. You can't just tell the doctor you have a headache and he will give you paracetamol. He's going to ask you a series of questions.
Yeah, sure.
Be sure your headache is not a symptom of an underlying illness, or headache is a standalone illness.
Yeah.
So that's what I do. I have to ask questions. I treat it like a doctor, like a scientist, basically. That's just it.
Sure, that's dope. I really like how you analyze this. It's like you break down everything like a scientific process, you said initially.
I mean, I'm an engineering student, so I have like science background.
Yeah.
In marketing.
Yeah. Okay. So. Talk about like engineering, from how you relate engineering, or maybe principles of, I don't know whether there is something like principles of engineering and how you apply it to what you do in marketing.
No, but it's just my science background makes me more data driven.
Okay, yeah.
And research obsessed, because as an engineer, if a machine breaks down, I can't just start to dismantle it. I first want to find out the problem.
Yeah, sure.
And I always take out this. This thing always like comes out in my marketing dealings, because these guys that I work with, my clients tend to always complain that I'm always obsessed with research and dealing with results. And I'm research is important, because it gives you, or it tells you what. And your research, you're able to analyze the problems and, you know, give the right solutions to get the best results that you deserve. So basically, that's just it.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And like, I know now that you, the way you are relating these things is like really beautiful. But for you now, talk about, let's like just make a quick tangent, because you talked about you being an engineering student.
Okay.
So what was your own experience with engineering in Nigeria? Or just talk about the whole Nigerian education system for you in general. I know that's a quick tangent for now, but like, just,
First of all, I mean, growing up, I used to believe in Nigeria a lot.
Yeah.
Ever since the man who must not be named took over, I mean, it's been, I don't even have the right words to qualify what Nigeria is at the moment.
But it's probably shit. Like, I'm not afraid to say
I don't want
this
to be, I don't want to be negative, because, I mean, but the Nigerian education system is terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, and most annoying thing, or the most crazy thing, is you don't realize how terrible it is when you're in the system. Until you take a step back, or you begin to view things from the lens of, from another lens, that you realize how shitty it is. It's messed up. You pay, aside, I mean, you obviously, you can't pay mediocre fee and expect like world-class education.
Definitely.
But I mean, what we are receiving at the moment is, we are paying like little funds for the education, but we are also paying for this education with something more expensive. We are paying for it in mental health. Yes, we are paying for it in mental health.
Every Nigerian student can relate to that.
Yeah, so it's like really messed up. I mean, so people don't go to school to get educated. They just go to school to get a certificate and get the fuck out.
You're talking broadly now.
Okay.
You're talking broadly in the sense of, you know, like, this is what maybe like every Nigerian person who has gone through this education system can relate to. Do you have stories, personal stories, that made you like totally disbelieve in the system?
I've had experiences, but I don't know if the stories can come to my head at this moment. But first of all, I'm a student of Lautech.
Yeah.
And, oh boy, I mean, first of all, me coming from a private school where we pay a lot of money, like, every term to, as a secondary school student. And then, where we had like a kind of one to few relationship with our teachers.
Yeah.
You had an issue, you could talk to your teacher to, I mean, get to the root of a lot of problems. And just going from that system and jumping into the Nigerian public university system, where you have one lecturer with or two, like 3,000 students at once.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a crazy switch. Like, the disparity in experiences was mind-boggling. And one thing I discovered is a lot of people that came from my kind of system, the private school system, with one to few, like kind of one teacher to few students relationship, they struggled in that kind of system. You see students that were very smart in high school, struggling in university, having like terrible grades in their first year because, and it was not like they were dumb, but just that change in environment and you know, circumstances cost like a downgrade in their results. And I mean, And it was just a slippery slope from there. It just went down.
I think I can relate to what you're saying, like personally. Like being someone who was probably in secondary school, like best in their class, feeling like they had a bright future ahead of them. Everybody told you that you had potential. And then you enter a school, like, because I attended Obafemi Awolowo University. So you enter this school and then you now begin to realize that, wait, am I not that smart? You begin to doubt yourself a lot because, like, if you are in the university coming from a secondary school system and you begin to have that switch.
Because a lot of the guys that come from, like, public secondary schools don't usually have issues with it because they've already had the experience in secondary school, so it's nothing. But you being a newbie in this system, it messes you up, and before you can find your steps or bounce back.
Yeah, some people actually do, because like by the time you have that first bad grade and you're going through all those processes of self-doubt, self-discovery, or I don't know what it's called, but I know like most university students have that phase where they have their first bad grade and they start to like doubt themselves and start to like try to find who they are. And some people pick up and like start to like do better. Some people just start better and like they are better. Some people start better, they end worse or something like that. So it's really different for different people.
But for me, I put in a lot of effort in my first year.
Yeah.
But I was discouraged because my effort was not exactly. Yeah. So I just lost interest from there. And that's when I discovered marketing. And I mean, that became my new love.
Yeah. Now let's come back to like the original conversation, like about marketing. Like, what do you think that startups in general, or people in general, maybe like people who want to market something, or startups who want to acquire customers, what do you think is like this common mistake they make most times?
Common mistake they make. They are not data driven.
Data driven. Yeah.
Because not just being data driven. Now a lot of startup founders have this belief that all what they need is a great product.
Yeah.
When your product is great, you have the customers come automatically. But that's not true. It's not the best. It's not the best. The best product that wins is the best marketed product that actually wins. Because when you have your marketing on steroids, you not just marketing on steroids, but you have great marketing on steroids. Yeah. You, first of all, I see marketing as you changing the life of your customer. That's just it. So when you have your great marketing on steroids, you get to learn faster. And that, like, your learning curve is shortened and you feel fast, you learn fast, you actually reiterate and, I mean, grow fast. That's like the entire point of growth marketing. You test, you learn, and you take these learnings and you use it to fuel your next test to ensure that you keep growing.
Like a reiteration process.
Yeah, reiteration process. But a lot of founders do not believe that they see marketing as something that should be on the side and focus more on the engineering and, I mean, perfecting their product.
Yeah.
So that's just it. So being research driven and also believing that marketing is not priority, those are like the major mistakes.
Yeah. I know you worked with, you probably worked with maybe a few startups, I don't know, clients before, but like maybe just tell me an experience of like the worst kind of clients you've worked with.
The worst is, I know I can't mention names anymore.
Yeah, sure.
The worst would be, I mean, as a person, I like getting better.
Yeah, sure.
That's why I love Michael Jackson, because he's always struggling for perfection. He wants to always outdo himself.
Yeah.
And when you relate with people or companies that have this lackadaisical attitude, or they are complacent with their growth, believing that what they have done is good enough to help them in future, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
So they will kill new ideas. They won't motivate you. You're not gingered to actually do more because they are will I say conceited? Or they're just self satisfied with what they've done and they are not willing to do more. You see, a lot of them will be like, I've had 12,000 users already.
Yeah.
So, I mean, without marketing, so I should, there's no need for me to focus on marketing when I can actually do what I've been doing to get the 12,000 users. I mean, if I keep doing it, I would.
Yeah, just keep like growing. Same process.
But my question is usually, how do you know your 12,000 users is not supposed to be 200,000?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you've been alive for like 2 years and you've had 12,000 users, if you have actually done the right things, your 12,000 users would have been like 200,000 users, and your $1 billion valuation or 1 billion naira valuation would be like $100 million. I'm just like exaggerating now, but you gauging your performance is based on what you've had and not actually looking at the big picture can be detrimental, and that's one issue. That's like my worst experience with like a potential client anyways, or
what,
client.
I feel you because like it's like just using the same process and expecting, you know, just,
I mean,
not trying to be innovative.
Definition of stupidity.
Yeah. So what, like, I think I'm really curious about like what we see marketing as today. Like everybody has digital marketing. A lot of people have digital marketing in their profile on social media or something. There are a lot of marketers today. I feel like that's the most abused profession on the internet. Like digital marketer. You understand? Everybody's marketing. Everybody calls themselves a marketer. What do you think that that's supposed to be? Or do you think that a lot of these people have this knowledge of how to market products? Or or do you think that they just like take one random thing and just like, okay, because I can maybe use Facebook ads, I'm a marketer. Because I can use this product, I'm a marketer. Or because I can push this one. What do you think that maybe would qualify someone to be calling themselves a marketer, I guess?
If you are actually proficient in the use of a marketing tool or a marketing channel, you are a marketer. But the thing is, a lot of people focus, there's the marketing funnel, like 5-6 stages.
Yeah.
So a lot of people prioritize just one, and that is awareness. And that's not sufficient for growth. To grow as a startup, you have to have active users. That's like the fuel for growth, the catalyst for growth. Active users my own definition of active users are the people that actually get value from your product, and because of the value they get consistently, they come back to always use your product. So when people come back to always use your product, that means they're getting something from your product.
Yeah, definitely.
And the fact that people actually that are not affiliated with you in any way get value from your product and come back to use your product show that your product has the potential to actually grow.
Yeah.
So a lot of people when marketing only focus on getting people to use the product. They don't get people to experience their value or that UVP, the unique value proposition.
Yeah.
So when people do not experience that UVP, there's no way they can become active users or sticky users. So a lot of people just focus on getting people to use their products, and when these guys don't experience that UVP, they just churn. That is, they don't use the product anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And these companies keep spending a lot of money doing giveaways, doing promotions and all that, just to get people into this broken bucket, this bottomless bucket.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the fact that they can't get users to experience the UVP means there's something wrong with their bucket. There's no end in it. So with every money that they are pouring into the bucket, is coming out from the other side. And I mean, they're just wasting money when they are supposed to work on fixing that bucket by actually trying to increase their retention.
Yeah,
that is the actually work on increasing the amount of people that actually get value from their product consistently every time, and learning from these guys to drive their marketing endeavors. So their learnings from this, their retention, whatever, will help them to bring in more users and ensure that more users actually stay than the last batch of new users that came in or acquired users stay. So a lot of people just focus on the awareness. They don't focus on retention or actually referrals, which is like the oga pata pata of you. I mean, when somebody, you spend $1 to bring in one user and that user gets value and that one user brings in four. I mean, that's insane already. So when you spend $1 to bring in a client with a lifetime value of, let's say, $10, and this, when that's like a $9 profit, because you're using $1 to bring somebody that will spend, give you $10, so you get $9, and this person now brings in other four users that will bring in $10, so that's like $49. Like you use $1 to spend to earn $49. That's a lot of profit,
a lot of value on your money.
That's a lot of value, man. So a lot of people don't focus on that, they just focus on the top, and that's what a lot of marketers do. They are not focusing on the other aspects. They just the awareness, and that's it.
Yeah.
All what they are concerned about is getting people to know your product or getting people to sign up.
Yeah.
That's why I say a lot of companies will be like, sign up and get 50% off or get 1,000 naira when you refer. And these guys bring in a lot of guys.
Yeah.
It's called the Cobra effect.
Yeah.
When you use like an incentive to actually get a result, but it backfires.
Yeah.
It's called the Cobra effect. So that's just...
Now, there are a lot of questions on my mind right now, and like one of them is like this high rise of influencer marketing for products. So it's because you're talking about something that people are getting a lot of people to first experience that absolute like Okta effect. You know that there's no like in the Nigerian comedy space, there's nobody that has no influence for Okta effects or this betting. I'm forgetting this other betting platform.
Yeah, betting. I mean, Nigeria is a fertile ground. It's a fertile ground for betting.
Yeah.
I don't bet.
Yeah.
But these guys keep. I mean, you see new betting products coming up every fucking day. New influencers. I was seeing one. They signed Ronaldinho. Ronaldinho as Kevin Hart called him. As they are, face of the brand, I mean, bro, I mean, that's a lot. Like, I mean, it's a fatal market, so I don't blame them anyway. So whatever they have to do to get people to actually sign up. And different industries have different, funnels and different kind of strategies that would be appropriate. Because a lot of your industry also might be regulated. So it will affect a lot of things that you actually do and your like marketing endeavors. So it varies actually, but for the influencers, their own job is just to help you promote and like get more eyes to your product. So a lot of these, I mean, it's one of the easiest channels or easiest way to make money, because these guys have built a brand for themselves on the internet. influencers. So brands just capitalize on these guys because they've already had their a name on that platform and they've had their own audience. So brands are just borrowing their audiences and demonetize that. The influencers. So if it works, they actually have their these things have their rewards also.
Yeah.
So if it works for their brand, fine. But if it doesn't work, you learn something and you move on. But a lot of these guys don't actually learn. They just keep pumping money into the scene and it's messed up.
That brings me to my second question. It's about Abeg. Everybody knows that Abeg spent billions of naira in
BB Niger
marketing. Yeah. Because I'm really skeptical about the process because I don't see Abeg as an app that can retain customers in the sense that they are not doing anything special apart from the fact that I can send money to a lot of people at once. So do you think that was effective for BBNIM, Abeg to spend billions of naira? Do you think that was the most effective way with billions of naira? I know they are putting it a lot in people's face, putting Abeg a lot in people's face, so people get to see it every day, so there will be massive
awareness
for the app and just more sign-ups, more downloads and all those things. Do you think that in the long term, I don't know, in your opinion, with this strategy that they use, do you think that, I don't know, in the long term, do you think that they might be able to retain customers?
Well, first of all, I see number of downloads or website visits, so as vanity metrics. Those are metrics that don't have, those are metrics that don't have influence on your bottom line in the long run. First of all, I don't watch BB Niger, I really do not know how aggressive they were with their ads on BB Niger, but I know. Well, social media, I knew they were, the first day BB Naija launched, people kept talking about Abeg.
Yeah.
But I really do not know. I think Abeg tried to, or should be the Nigeria's, is it Venmo or what's this app?
Cash App,
something like that. So, I really can't judge on whatever interest you have in the long term.
Yeah.
But by what I would do if I was on the team of Abeg was to look at the most active users, the people that actually use Abeg very often. That shows that they actually get value from Abeg and actually study
why
their behavior and what it is and probably run some interviews to understand some things, because you looking at numbers from your own backend only help you with the quantitative analysis. But you actually having to talk with and actually get into the minds of your active users is the qualitative analysis. And these two forms of analysis help you with your marketing. They help you get the hidden gems.
Yeah, I feel you.
From your customers, rather.
Yeah.
And one way to actually succeed with marketing is to actually find out one thing that your customers consistently use you for. There are brands that have utilized that. I'm trying to think of brands that have done that. Not startups now, I'm talking of the big guys from the, I can't remember. Okay, now, it was Golf that was their own marketing strategy was about being a small car.
Yeah.
So their own focus was not to be a premium car or to be a car for families. They just wanted to be known as the car, small chic car that was just their own strategy. I'm trying to remember another one that focused on one thing. So once you actually find out that one thing that your customers actually get from you, the value you for, you just double down on that and so you become a market leader. You become kind of a big fish in a small pond.
Yeah.
It's a form of guerrilla marketing, actually. So you just take out everything else and focus on that one thing to make sure you actually keep innovating around that one thing. Help your customers be better.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I would go on for with Abeg and not try to be everything to a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's just it. But I can't really judge or say something about their bottom line. They know what is going on in their company.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm oblivious to that. So
This thing sparks my interest in something, because I know this might not really be a question for you, but like, I'm just curious, because like big fish in small pond, or something you say. Like, there are a lot of fintech apps in Nigeria now. It's like every day you wake up, there's a new fintech. So how do you think that these guys are like optimizing their marketing, in the sense that they are standing out? Like, because like, there's plenty of options. How do you think they are marketing, in the sense that they are actually retaining customers that use this particular app, and they are not like trying, because they're like retaining customers, because it's like really, I thought about it, it's really funny to me. So many fintech apps,
too many.
What kind of like marketing do maybe companies who would win? Because there are some who would win, there are some who will lose badly. What kind of marketing do you think they should be doing?
Well, first of all, I was even talking to my friend Jerry now about like one new fintech app like that helps you save while you spend.
Yeah.
I think that was like, that's like a fucking great idea. But like, fintech apps are the number one thing. Like, I mean, like the default industry for startups. And I don't blame the guys that keep doing or innovating around this thing, because the fastest way to make money is to be close to where the money is.
Finance.
So, for you to actually win in the fintech industry, you have to actually be the first to market. And since a lot of these guys are not the first to market, you have to actually be leading in the customer experience. That's one thing that a lot of Nigerian brands do not do well. If you can, that's what Amazon champions in their own way of life, customer first. They are a customer centric brand. A lot of these fintech apps are company centric. They are focused about, they are obsessed with their own product and not with their customer. And that way your customers they don't love you. And if you want to succeed, you have to build obsessed fans. You have to get your customers to love you like crazy. I mean, look at Piggy Bank. Those guys are insane. I mean, they are just amazing in different ways. Now, that's not an ad, but I just enjoy using Piggyverse. They make my life easy. But that's one thing you can do to actually stand out. It's not just to banter on social media with your fans or that. I mean, that's one way to build relationships.
Yeah, sure, definitely.
It's way deeper than that. One company I like to talk about is Amazon. Just go through the letters to investors when they went public. So you understand a lot of things on the back end. Now, they are customer centric and also feature oriented. Look at what they did with Amazon Prime. A lot of analysts predicted that they will run at a loss.
Yeah.
But these guys, because they are obsessed with their customers, they understand these guys a lot, their pain points and the goals and whatever problems it is they have. And these guys care about them. So if you want to succeed as in a saturated market, you have to care about your customers. That's what Apple does. That's why Apple can decide to release nonsense, and these guys, their fans will still get it because their fans are obsessed with this product. It rubs off on other people that are not even fans.
Yeah, definitely.
So for you to succeed in a saturated market, you have to give your customers that make your customers love you like crazy. When they love you, they will do anything for you. So you have to prioritize that customer experience.
Yeah,
that has to be the number one.
That's really interesting, and you give like a really nice like answer and perspective to that question that was bothering me. But we've been talking about a lot of serious stuff for like the past few minutes. I want us to cut on a quick tangent now and try to see what, like, maybe focus on you for now. I heard a small gist about you actually
from
that
who?
You've never dated a person in your life
and.
I was curious about if you actually do not believe in love, or if Nigerian girls don't do it for you.
I mean, first of all, I'm a very picky person.
Yeah.
Very picky. So I do not. Women are beautiful. I mean, Nigerian women are spectacular in their own unique way, actually. But I mean, being a picky person means I don't get fazed by a lot of. Normal things or normal women and all that. So That's why my friends always, that's the first thing my friend actually complained about Lovers, was like, you can't actually get a girlfriend because you are very picky. You have too high standards, and I mean, it's just, you can't satisfy, like, you can't reach your standards easy, that kind of thing. So that's just it. I believe in love and real, but the concept of relationship is like mind-boggling, because my first question is, why do people get into relationships?
Yeah.
How many girlfriends have you had in your lifetime?
Probably just one.
Just one. And why did you go into a relationship with her?
I think I was like really just like have a lovey-dovey at that point.
Obsessed.
I guess. Obsessed, I guess, at the point. Yeah.
Okay.
And then just that kind of thing.
From my own perspective, I feel like people get into relationship, like decide to be in a relationship with somebody because they can't stand the thought of the person being with another person.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of people get into relationships but still mess around or cheat on their partners who they claim to love, because despite the affection or obsession or lust that they feel, they are still not satisfied. And whatever it is that you want to get from a relationship, you can get it without being in a relationship. Companionship, sex, what connects, anything.
Yeah.
You can get it without being in a relationship. So why do you have to go into a relationship and actually cage yourself? Because relationships a lot of times can be very limiting.
You're limited.
Because you actually have to spend a lot of time that you'd have spent working on productive stuff or developing yourself to actually cater to another person's feelings, you know?
Yeah, there's two questions on my mind. Is it because you like don't fancy the idea of monogamy?
I tell my parents, my mom, brother, and my friends that me, mama, ni, yawuni, like six women, one for each continent. Because I'm Oluwa baby boy, Olukulaku Tekaja, you understand? So, one woman, I'm too much for a woman to handle.
Yeah.
One woman cannot enjoy me alone. So, I have to be shared.
So, what's your own idea of love, I guess? You might have not thought about it, but like, maybe you have thought about it, but what's your own idea of love, I guess?
God is love.
Yeah.
Jesus loves us.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's no greater love than that. A lot of things people call love is not necessarily love. It's probably lust or just strong desire.
Yeah.
Because when you love someone, like Lucas Graham said, you open up your heart, you make room. When you love someone and you are not afraid to lose them, you probably have never loved someone like I do. So, you know the song?
No.
Love Someone, Lucas Graham. That's like, that album, it's called Three, the popular album.
But that's the guy that sang it once.
Seven years. Yeah, yeah. No, they're actually a group.
Yeah, okay.
Lucas.
Yeah.
Poshama, I think Fokama or something. That's his first, that's the lead singer's name. So, you should listen to their album. I think that's their second album. They should have another one on the way, actually. But their album was fucking great. But that Love Someone track number four was something else. It was my favorite song at some point. It was just beautiful. And when you actually love somebody genuinely, you overlook it. It just, like the way I feel with my best friend, like mostly now, you just love somebody genuinely so deeply, you it feels like another you won't do something you do to yourself to that person. That's just it. But a lot of people do a lot of hurtful things to the people that they love.
Yeah,
and it's just insane. They can't tolerate a lot of things, you know, and it's just messed up. It could make sense at all. But then love is when you actually see yourself, or that person becomes you, like a piece of you. You what the fuck, like you just won't do, or you think of, before you do something, you just think of yourself.
How they feel, yeah.
I mean, not necessarily how they feel, it's just ingrained already, it's just automatic. You don't just do things without, I mean, I don't even know how to explain it.
I think that's like really, really
that's,
powerful.
That's love,
right?
Actually. That's
powerful.
When you...
That's powerful.
Yeah, man. That's what Jesus did for us.
Yeah.
God loves us. Like, he made us in his own image. I call myself a selfie of God, you know. Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Made in the image of God. That's a
selfie.
You know.
Yeah.
And that...
West.
Eh? No, that's not the only thing I know. You know that. What the fuck, bro? That's not you. Don't that is miles better than COB. This guy has a, like a mediocre taste in music.
Yeah, I'm a huge Drake fan.
Yeah, huge Drake fan. But so, do you think Donda?
Yeah,
I
couldn't get through the first four tracks of Donda.
Why?
Because it was just too much rant. I don't know. It felt like a rant. Just like then. It was the same rhythm.
It was the same rhythm. No, it was not. It was not the same. Donda. The first is. Donda is the name of his mother.
Yes.
It's the name of Kai's mother. And I mean, we come down. I'm a sucker for good intros in music.
Yes.
That was a fantastic intro because, you know, music is. One thing about music is, for you to enjoy, you have to get it in the state of mind of the creator.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth. That's the truth. Because when you when you actually it's just like trying to understand other people. When you actually look at some things from your lens, you may actually lose the meaning. But when you actually get to look at things from the view of another person, you actually see new things. The reason why Donda is I feel that intro is sick is because of the hidden meaning in that intro, especially. Why did he chant the name 52 times?
Yeah, 52 times. They counted
52.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
no.
Why?
I did not know they counted. Why?
Because of that, his mom died at the age of 52 or something. Was it 52 or 50? I can't remember. It was the amount of years that his mom lived on earth, actually.
Yeah.
Because Kanye loves his mom a lot.
Yeah.
So. No. We'll get back to that. Don't worry.
Yeah.
So, I'm a sucker for great intros and actually love that. What he did with the whole Donda, with the whole intro and the production of the song and his messages in the song. The concept, Kanye is a fucking genius. I never used to listen to Kanye.
Yeah, I know.
Until he dropped Donda.
Yeah,
I hated Kanye before.
I used to listen to Kanye until he started ranting at us in his songs.
But Donda was
but
a masterpiece.
I still, because like, there's no amount of theory you can give me right now to change my mind that CLB was greater than Donda. I'm like a huge Drake fan. Like, everybody on this podcast know me. I talk about Drake most times. So,
I know.
So, and yeah, sure, that was just it.
CLB was underwhelming for me.
Underwhelming? It says that you think Drake underperformed?
No, underperformed, but what the fuck? Scorpion.
Yeah, Scorpion was a really nice album. I enjoyed Scorpion. But some people did not enjoy Scorpion.
Eh? Scorpion was beautiful.
It was a beautiful album. Kiki, do you love
Forget
me?
Kiki.
Are you ready?
From the fact that he had Michael Jackson on the album. Bro, what the hell, bro? That was insane. I mean, how would you think of doing something like that? I mean, it was obviously fake Michael Jackson at the hand on the song, but I mean, it don't matter. Oh, God, it was sick, actually. It was sick. I'm not going to sing. I have like a terrible voice, actually.
Yeah. So, one thing.
You guys
that,
hear me sing?
Like, I have two more questions for you, which are like probably serious questions, I guess.
Okay.
So, what do you think is like one thing you want to tell this audience? I guess, like, just about, like you have, like, you are in your own space right now.
Okay.
It's like this one thing you want to tell the whole world. If you had the opportunity, what is it?
We win line.
Yeah, sure.
Said, probably thought that my career be short and sweet. Wish that I was in your shoes. I take them off and find a bit.
Yeah.
But superstars don't sparkle. You shine deep. You can't spell fame without me.
Yeah.
I mean, my Hall of Fame speech be short and sweet. Like, thank God, fuck fame and thank me. Superstars don't sparkle. Superstars gleam. I was your main man before I went mainstream. I'ma be on the TV, mama. But I don't say I'm going to be on the TV, Mama. I say I'm going to be on Forbes' list, Mama.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's one thing I always wanted to tell you. That's a perfect.
That's nice. That's
No. It's not that was actually the hook of his song. It's not even the rap line.
That's nice because
yeah, it's a good line. Yeah. I love Lil Wayne. That is like my favorite. Ian Nas. Yeah. I love Lil Wayne's the things Lil Wayne says. I'm not a very big fan of J. Cole, but Nas, I love Nas because of the way he talks. Like there's just something about
like
Nas's flow. Yeah. Not his flow, but the way he just talks, like hear ye, only kings come near me.
There's a song which is really dun 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 dun.
I know I can now. Right now, like with the Mozart or is it Beethoven that? He said, listen up, boys and girls. You can be anything in the world, the God you trust. And I can tell you, I know I can be what I want to be, even though I can't remember the song now. Yeah, that's the song you're talking about.
That's all dope.
I can. That was a God song. That was the album. It was 2002. So.
My final question would be, what's the meaning of life?
Enjoy yourself.
Just vibes.
Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself, man. I mean, it's like you're supposed to enjoy. I mean, what's the purpose of living all your life and you're suffering and struggling? I mean, the purpose of the struggle is to actually help you or lead to enjoyment.
Yeah.
So you must enjoy yourself. If you don't enjoy yourself, you feel. And not just necessarily enjoying yourself, you should also help others to achieve their own potential so that they can also enjoy themselves. And,
yeah.
I mean, that's just it.
Yeah,
that's what life is about for me.
I really feel you, man. That's really great, I guess.
Yeah, man.
So this has been like a nice session.
Yes,
you shared a lot of opinions. I've learned a lot.
Yeah, why did you spark my head?
I've learned a lot of new things, but for those who might be listening, I have Jeremiah Ajayi in the audience.
We have Toby.
I have Toby in the audience.
Boys and girls.
Yeah, because so they are in the studio right now with me, and we are recording. So. So it has been a nice session with you, and I really enjoyed it. I hope people who listen to this also.
Shout out to my baby girls all over the world, and
back for the girls.
Chloe Bailey, that's the love of my life, and Ola Posi. I've told you, was sexy.
It was nice.
That's my best friend for life, man. Yeah. I love him so much, and my other guys.
It was nice having you at the podcast.
Yeah, it was nice having you, too, Mr. Kelvin.
Yeah.
Yeah, great to actually be on this podcast.
That's a wrap, man. That's how you end the podcast.
Thank you, guys. Love you.
Yeah.
My social media, my social media is dead.
Yeah.
But I'm active on Twitter.
Yeah, I would definitely.
Only helps you, bar.
Yeah,
Ranks Digital is my business.
I'll put all those links probably to the website, and maybe if you have any social media profiles, I'll put all those things in the description. People can find you, people can contact you.
But if you have questions, media, and all those things.
So I will do all those.
Love you, and thank you for listening to Kelvin's podcast.
Yeah, peace. A bad motherfucker.
Mwah.
'You made it this far, thank you for listening to the end, and don't forget to like, don't forget to subscribe, don't forget to share this episode. Look forward to my episode next week. That's it for me this week, and until then, stay curious.